I want you to raise your hand if you've heard this phrase before. If you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. If you've heard it, raise your hand. Okay, I think pretty much everybody in this room has heard that phrase. In the 1942 movie Bambi, a little rabbit named Thumper teaches us this truth as a good standard of practice when talking with others. You see, Thumper was still learning that he probably shouldn't say some of the first thoughts that came to his mind, especially as he noticed the newborn Bambi was very wobbly on his legs as he was just learning how to walk. And immediately jumping into the situation, Thumper's mama says, "Thumper, what did your father tell you this morning?" Embarrassed and quickly understanding that he shouldn't have said that, little Thumper looks down and says, "If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all." We've all been reminded of this phrase probably once or twice in our lifetime, or maybe we've had to remind ourselves when we wanted to say something out loud that we knew we probably shouldn't. Throughout our sermon series on the power of words, we have been talking about how our words can affect so much because of the weight that they carry. I want you to take a minute this morning and stop to think for just a second. What is something someone said to you in the last week that was hurtful, negative, or left you with a bad taste in your mouth? Do you remember what they said? It's more often than not that negative words will have a greater and longer lasting impact on us, sometimes even more so than positive words. I was researching for this sermon today, and I came across an article that said, "Negative words are harder on your listener's brain because your words have consequences. You make things so much more difficult for your listeners when you fill sentences with negative words. Studies show that negative word patterns result in the release of negative hormones and neurotransmitters in the brain, while positive words stimulate the brain's frontal lobes. Negative words trigger increased activity in the amygdala, which is the fear center of the brain. In turn, this can cause a partial shutdown of the reasoning and logic centers located in the frontal lobes. Negative words can make people feel tense, nervous, and even fearful as they attempt to figure out what you want and how you're supposed to respond. They can cause people to experience a sense of confusion, defensiveness, conflict, and even lowered self-esteem. Our words matter, and as Christian people, we are called to a higher standard of living. And that standard requires our speech to match the way Jesus has called us to live our lives. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And how do we show love to one another? By building one another up, by encouraging each other, by allowing the Holy Spirit to live and work in us and through us, so that our relationship with the Lord shines through and can be an encouragement to fellow believers. I'd like to take a minute to go back to the part of the text that the Freemans read for us this morning, and we're so grateful that they did that for us. But we were looking at James chapter 3, and I want to go back specifically to verse 4. It says this: "Take ships as an example. Although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself on fire by hell. I want to ask you another question this morning. Have you ever driven a boat? Anybody here have a boat or driven a boat before? I have my family here this morning, and I know that they have. Have you ever been a passenger in a boat? It's a little bit different when you're a passenger. Yes, it is. How about this? Have you ever been a passenger in a boat that your younger brother is driving, who likes to go really fast and hit other boats' wake really hard while you're sitting in the front of the boat holding onto the railing for dear life, all the while praying that the boat lands safely flat back on the top of the water once you're done sailing through the air for what feels like 10 minutes, but it's really only been like half a second. Has that ever happened to you? It is in particularly difficult situations that you realize more than any other time your pilot matters. Jesus wants to help us pilot our lives, but he can't help us unless we've given him full control. And if we aren't allowing Jesus to have full control to pilot our boat and steer us in the right direction, then we'll start going in directions that we never intended to go. Maybe we start to share a little bit about something that we heard someone over say about someone else, and we don't really know if it's true or not, but what will it hurt if we only tell one person that? Or maybe we tell someone what we really think, even though it's not very nice. So what? Sometimes people need to hear the truth, right? Our words matter. Our words have power. And our words are to be used in love. When I was in school, one of my teachers had this poster on her wall, and it had an acronym up on it for THINK. And it said this, THINK spelled out, and T stood for, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Perhaps more often than not, we would be better off if we followed this model of thinking before we spoke. It's easy to allow ourselves to fall into the trap of this won't really hurt anybody, really, but our words matter. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Not a little bit, not one phrase every now and then, but not any unwholesome talk should come out of your mouth." This is not easy, but when Jesus is our pilot and we are walking with him daily, it's easier to stay the course. I want to share this story about a little boy. There was a boy who, I guess not so little because he's working, but there was a boy who worked in the produce section of the market. A woman came in and asked to buy half a head of lettuce. The boy told her they only sold whole heads of lettuce because that's the way God made them. But the woman replied, "You mean to tell me, after all these years of shopping here, I can't buy half a head of lettuce if I would like?" The boy said he would go and ask his manager about the matter. The boy walked into the back room and he said, "There's some stupid woman out there who wants to buy only a half a head of lettuce." And as he was finishing saying this, he turned to find the woman standing right behind him. So he added, "And this nice lady wants to buy the other half." Later, the manager called on the boy and said, "You almost got yourself in a lot of trouble earlier, but I must say I was impressed by the way you got yourself out of it. You think on your feet, and I like that. We like that around here. Where are you from, son?" The boy replied, "Minnesota, sir." "Oh, really? Why did you leave Minnesota?" asked the manager. The boy replied, "They're all ugly women and hockey players up there." "Really?" replied the manager. "My wife is from Minnesota." The boy replied, "No kidding. What team did she play for?" With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I love my application study Bible that I have because it often breaks down verses in a way that I can understand, but it also brings a challenge with it. It helps me to apply it to everyday life. And for the text that I just read just a second ago, it says this: our contradictory speech often puzzles us. At times, our words are right and pleasing to God, but at other times, they are violent and destructive. Which of these speech patterns reflect our true identity? The tongue gives us a picture of our basic human nature. We were made in God's image, but we have also fallen into sin. God works to change us from the inside out. When the Holy Spirit purifies a heart, he gives self-control so that the person will speak words that please God. When we are intentional about taking time each day to spend with Jesus, we are allowing ourselves to be transformed from the inside out. By anchoring ourselves in God's word, it's not so hard to know how to respond when someone angers or frustrates us because we're being prepared for it. So the next time we have to have a hard conversation with someone, let's be proactive and pray about it before we go into the meeting and ask God to give us words that would be helpful and not hurtful to that person. When we ask our kids to do something for the 15th time and they still aren't moving, let's choose our next words carefully. Or when we're driving and somebody cuts us off right before we're supposed to take our exit, let's not express words of frustration, but instead allow the Holy Spirit within us to take over and calm us. And instead of getting angry, thank God that there wasn't an accident caused by the decision of another person. As I wrap up today's message, I want to jump back to the scripture I mentioned at the beginning, and that was, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." And how do we show love to one another? Through our words, certainly. So I want to challenge you as we go out this week to think of this passage of scripture that you know all too well. But when you hear the word love, I want you to also think of your words. I'm going to read it for us now. Love is patient. Do my words show that I am patient? Love is kind. Are my words kind? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Do my words reflect humility? It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Are my words building others up or keeping score of who's right? Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Do my words speak truth and reflect God's light? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Do my words make others feel safe? Love never fails. Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through me by the words that I speak? God, as our pilot, directs us. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control, and through these two working together, we live into the person God has commanded us to be, loving followers of him and his will, which in turn causes us to naturally be intentional with our words. Choosing words that uplift and encourage instead of belittling, because our words have an impact, and negative words have a negative impact. Let's choose this week to allow our words to have a positive impact. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to be people that reflect your word, uplifting and encouraging to one another and never hateful. Give us the words to say that bring peace, hope, and light to a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.